Amen, amen. It's pretty amazing that COOs at hospitals can sing like that. Isn't that crazy? What a talent. Hey, well, good morning. Afternoon, church. Glad that you are here. Happy Sabbath. Welcome to Forest Lake Church. Glad that you are here. If you're joining us online, a special welcome to you. We wouldn't be the same without you, and so I'm glad that you're worshiping with us. And if today's your first time, come say hey to me on the way out. There were several in first service that I got to meet, and so if you're new here, I'd love to meet you as well. Hey, before we dive into the Word of God, there's a group of people that I want to recognize this morning. It's the teachers and the educators that are here today. Every parent in here that has school-age children is so grateful for you. Here this Friday, Fleece begins. I think FLA starts about the same time, and as we send our kids off into your care, some will say boo-hoo, and some will say hallelujah, Jesus. So if you are a teacher, an educator, if you teach at Flees, at FLA, if you're a homeschool teacher, a public school teacher, if you're an administrator in a school, if you are in education in any way, a music teacher, I invite you just to stand at this time so that we can have a special prayer of blessing over you. So as you stand, we will celebrate you. Thank you. Glad you're here. Yes, absolutely. Wonderful. That's great. Let's pray for these awesome teachers. Heavenly Father God, you've called each and every one of us, but you've called this group of teachers, educators, in a special way. You've built them different. They have such a skill and a talent that only can come from you. So God, I pray for each of these teachers. May you give them courage in the difficult moments that they face this year. May you give them discernment on how to reach each and every child. May you give them patience with the students and their parents. May you, God, bless them in such a way that this, at the end of this year, we look back and we'll say, God used them in such powerful ways. God, I pray also for the students that will begin this year's school, and bless them as they start. And God, as we open your word now, may you bless our hearts. Let us hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. If you didn't know, we're in the middle of a sermon series called Come to Your Senses. And Pastor Alex and I have been bouncing back and forth in this series. I believe God gave us our senses as one of the many ways for us to connect with Him. And today we launch into the sense of hearing. And in order to launch into this, I think we have to have a test. Now, some of you students are like, Pastor Matt, bro, school doesn't start till Friday. We got tests already? It's okay. This is an easy one because it's a hearing test. So here's how it will work. I am going to use an app on my phone to play a few different sounds, just kind of like the children's story, but slightly different. And everyone at this time, just go ahead and raise your hand proudly. Go ahead, raise your hands. Everybody, yep, hands up. There you go, everybody. That's like half of you. Are the introverts are like this? Okay. So when you can't hear the sound, lower your hand. Okay? So when you can't hear the sound, lower your hand. We're going to start off easy. I'll hold it up to my mic so you can hear it. Let's see. Can you hear that? It's going to get louder. You can. Okay. No hands down. That's good. If they're down now, you got problems. But you probably can't hear me say that anyway. Okay. We're good? So good? All right. Keep going. Everybody's good so far? Oh. Oh, that's annoying. If there was a dog in here right now. You guys have great hearing. So I saw some elderly put their hands down. Can you still hear it? Some of you? In the back, I see hands. Balcony still got hands. That's good. Okay, we're at 13,000 hertz. Still got it? Still got it? If you got your hand up, you're lying because I turned it off. Sorry. That was mean, wasn't it? Is your hearing tuned today? Got it calibrated to listen? When I was pastoring a couple different churches ago, I had the piano tuner come to our church. I found pictures of him because I took them a while back. This is Myron Bogoslavski. What a great name. And he came to the front door of the church, and I welcomed him in, and he was all smiles. And I said, oh, here's the piano we'd like you to tune. And he came over, and he sat down on the piano bench, and he smiled at me. And then he played the A just above middle C, bum, 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 bum. And he looked at me, and I looked at him like, this is weird, bro. Like, what are we doing here? And then he pulled out this wrench with a large wooden handle, and he reached into the piano, where you can see him there, and he kind of bumped one of those knobs. Bum, 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 bum. Kept hitting that note. And when he got it tuned to where he wanted it, then he pulled out his iPhone with a tuning app on it, and he set it on the piano so that I could see what he was going to see, and he played that bum, 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 and I watched the meter, the dial, go back and forth until it landed perfectly on A. And he was just flexing that he has perfect pitch, and he could tune anything because his ears were tuned to hear what he needed to hear. If you know where we're going with this message, it's, are your ears tuned to hear what you need to hear? Are your ears tuned to hear the voice of God? You know, all throughout the Bible, there's stories about people listening to God's voice, but I think maybe the best one is found in the book of 1 Samuel. And if you've got your Bible, I invite you to open to 1 Samuel with me, chapter 3. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, that's okay. There's a blue one in front of you, and you can turn to page, I think it's 192, which will help you follow along. And we read a story about a boy named Samuel. Now, I'll give you some context while you're turning there. Samuel had two parents, wonderful people that loved God. Their names were almost identical. Mom was Hannah, dad was Elkanah, which could be very confusing. And the problem with their relationship is that Hannah couldn't have kids. And so Elkanah takes a second wife named Penina. She has kids, but because Penina knows that Elkanah loves Hannah way more, she constantly badgers Hannah by saying, you're not good enough, you can't have kids, and it's the bane of Hannah's existence that she can't have children. And so one day, Hannah finds herself on the steps of the temple. She's pouring her heart out before God. She's weeping. And the priest named Eli, he comes over, and he's accustomed to seeing drunk people on the steps, and so he gets under her case. He says, hey, you can't be here. You can't be drunk at the temple. And she looks up at him, and she says, I'm not drunk. I'm just heartbroken because I want to have a baby. And I wonder if Eli was just a little embarrassed about the whole situation, because he pronounces a blessing over her, and he basically asks God to give her the desire of her heart, which is to have a baby boy. And Hannah, shortly after, has Samuel, a baby boy that she dedicates to God's service. In fact, she's so committed to this that she takes Samuel and she puts him in the care of Eli, the priest, to grow up in the temple to be a part of the priestly order. We pick up the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting right there in verse 1. Here's what it says. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And we pause for a second to think about this verse. The word of the Lord was rare. Now that could mean valuable, like expensive, like a rare diamond, a rare jewel. The word of the God was very rare and valuable. I think it means it wasn't happening very often and you didn't hear his voice very often. In fact, in this day and age, the people there wanted nothing to do with God. In fact, the book of Judges describes these people by saying that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's so postmodern. Well, that might be your truth, but my truth is this. And instead of the people seeking God and saying, well, God, what is your calling and your instructions on our life? They just went with what they thought was best for them. So there was lacking of morality, so much so that you could say that this people, they were in a spiritual famine. They did the things that they were supposed to do. They had the priest. They had the sanctuary. They did the festivals. But there was no deep connection with God because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. I believe he was there all along. But the voice of God was very rare. It's kind of like, and this has happened to everyone, it's kind of like when you're talking with somebody. Could be a spouse. Could just be a friend. It could be a parent, and it breaks my heart when I do this to my kids, and you're sharing something so important to you. Maybe you're just sharing the day, how it went. Maybe you're sharing your deepest heart desire or a thing you're struggling with, and as you're talking to them, they get a text message, and so they reach in their pocket, and they pull out their phone to see who texted them, or even worse, I think this one's even worse, they flip their hand over in their Apple Watch, and they begin to scroll as they read through the text message. Has this happened to you before?
When this happens to me, I feel like the smallest person on the planet, the least valuable person ever. And when that happens to me, I just stop talking. Why should I waste my breath on someone that isn't listening? And I believe that God was with the people all along, but because they didn't want to hear him, he didn't waste his breath. And so the voice of God, the word of the Lord, was very rare. We move on to verse 2 to hear how the story goes. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, pause there just to highlight the senses here. Eli's sense of sight was going away, which I wonder, did it heighten his sense of hearing in this story? So verse 2, one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he couldn't see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord said to Samuel, then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." And so he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. We pause there just to think about this. The Bible says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Did Samuel know the Lord? You better believe he did. He's in the temple. He's with the priest. Everything that he did was about God. So he knew of God. He knew about God. But the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I wonder if this means that he wasn't as intimately connected to God so that he could understand and decipher God's voice yet. Because you see it in the story, God speaks to him, and instead of identifying that as the voice of God, he runs to another human to see what he's asked. He can't tell the difference between God's voice and a human voice. And I think that sometimes, a lot of times in our lives, we struggle with that factor right there. How do you decipher the difference between the voice of God and the voice of other humans? More importantly, how do you decipher the voice of God versus your own heart's desire? Because it sure is easy when we ask the tough questions like, who will I marry? Well, I want to marry him, or I want to marry her. Or where should I go to school next? Well, I want to go to this school and do this major. Or what house should I buy? I mean, if you've ever gone house hunting, it's pretty hard. You're making a massive decision. Which house should I buy? Well, God, I want this house right here. In those tough questions, it's hard to decipher the difference between God's voice and your own heart's voice. Right now, I have two friends, good friends, that are in a career situation, two separate situations, where they are having a hard time deciphering if it's God's voice or their own heart's desire voice. One of these has been an administrator for 20 years. They've been climbing the ladder. They have been excelling at their role. They've been doing incredible things. And a new role opened up that is the role above theirs. And as soon as it opened up, they said, "Ooh, this could be for me." And all of their colleagues said, "You need to apply for this. God made you for this. You are built for this. There's no one better for this job except for you." And so they said, "Okay, well, that's what I want too." And so they applied for this job only to find out that the administrator hiring this one wanted to just stuff their friend in there instead. And so she didn't even get an interview. And so she sits here wondering, like, well, is this a human thing or is this a God thing? How do I decipher God's calling here? Is he calling me here and it just got ruined by humans and it's just my heart's desire? Or does he really want me there? Another friend I know very well, he's been in his role for 10 years plus. He's been developing programs. He's been building teams. He's been just doing such great things in his area. Has quite a great following. Yet his administrators have said, "We want you to grow, and so we're going to take you out of this place, and we're going to put you in a completely different place." And he doesn't want to go. So is this God calling him there? Or is it his heart's desire that he's listening to stay here? It's so hard sometimes to decipher God's voice. And you really have to listen to it to know the difference. And Samuel does just that. Here's what he says. Here's how the story goes in verse 8. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, which we pause just to say, if you don't have an older mentor in your life, you need one, because they may be the one that helps you decipher God's voice. Verse 9, so Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. I mean, I don't know about you, but if you've heard this voice over and over again, and you go to your mentor, and your mentor says, "I know that voice, it's the voice of God, so go back to sleep and listen for God's voice," I'm not going back to sleep. How about you? If you knew God was going to call you by name, would you just snooze? Not a chance. So Samuel is probably lying there, listening to his heart beat in his ears as he's waiting to hear the voice of God. I mean, what an incredible thing. Here's what happens. We go on. What verse are we on? Somebody help me. 10. Thank you. Here's what happens. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." It's crazy to me to think that God didn't just speak to him, but he stood in the room with him. So the Bible says. Can you imagine how clear it would be to hear God's voice as he stood next to you, whispering in your ear? Maybe he sings songs your name just like I do. Wouldn't that be amazing to hear his voice? And Samuel instantly responds with, "Yes, I can hear it now. What can I do for you?" Do you believe that God still speaks to you today? I've never heard his voice, but I've seen his movement in my life. I've seen his words as he directs and shows me my future. More importantly, when God speaks, are you ready to move? Are you ready to put his words and his instructions into action? Because it's your life, it's your future. So often in a time when it feels like God doesn't speak, we tend to make our plans and organize our life and take control of our future. And when God speaks, it's hard for us to get up away from our heart's desires and what we want and trust God with what he wants for us. There's an author, a Christian author, his name's Dallas Willard. He writes in the book, Hearing God, he says this. He says, "Our failure to hear God's voice when we want to is due to the fact that we do not, in general, want to hear it. That we want it only when we think we need it." I would even adjust this slightly to say that unless God's voice agrees with what we want, that's when we don't want to hear it. Unless it's something that matches what we already desire, then it must not be God's voice. I mean, it's a challenge that all of us have, listening to his voice and obeying it. But Samuel, he's a different story. He says, "God, whatever you want, I'm here." In fact, Ellen White, she says in Patriarchs and Prophets, she says that so awed was Samuel at the thought that the great God should speak to him that he could not remember the exact words which Eli bade him say. I mean, that's such humility where he lays there and he says, okay, there's the voice of God now. What did Eli tell me to say? What is it? "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." He was ready. He said, "God, whatever you want, I'm ready to do. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." If God speaks today, what does it sound like? Does it sound like your own heart's desire, or is it something completely different? It's the greatest challenge ever, and I think the answer to that challenge of hearing God's voice clearly is found in Psalm chapter 37. David, he writes these beautiful words. He says this. He says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart." Now, I think that when most people read that verse, they say, "Oh, all I have to do to get what I want, what my desires of my heart is, I just have to delight myself in the Lord. That's easy." This is not a shortcut to getting what you want. I think it's David as he flips the paradigm on our heart's desire. I think what David really says is, when you delight yourself in the Lord, that means spending time with him, listening to him, asking him to do his will in your life, submitting to him. I think it's then that our desires of our heart change to match what God's desire for us is. Are you with me this morning? I'm going to say it again just to make sure you get it. I think what David means when he says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desire of your heart, I think what David's saying is, when we submit ourselves to God, worship him, spend time with him, delight in who he is, asking him for his will, that he doesn't give us the desires of our heart, but the desires of our heart change to be more about what God desires for us. Are you hearing me this morning? I believe it, that God speaks to us. In fact, I've heard his voice. Some of the most powerful times that I heard his voice was when I was a senior at Southern Adventist University. I just was a senior graduating, had a few months until graduation. I was engaged to Jen, and interviews were happening in the theology department. Now, Southern is the greatest theology school on the planet, and so every conference in the North American division comes to Southern to interview the best of the best. And so there's sign-up sheets on the wall for the different conferences that will be there. And so as soon as the sign-up sheets got up there, I put my name down on whatever conferences were coming. Now, I'd grown up in Georgia Cumberland Conference. It was home for me. And Jen and I began to pray. And our prayer was this: God, our desire is to serve you wherever you'll put us. If you put us in the armpit of Arkansas, we will go. God, if you put us in Hawaii, we will go. We just want to serve you, God, but we do have a preference. If it's not your will, that's okay, but we do desire Georgia Cumberland. We went to the first interview, which was Florida Conference. They were the first on the schedule, and we walked into the room, and I'm no dummy. I took Jen with me. That's the only reason I have a job, okay, guys? We walk in there, and the president, Mike Colley, was there. There was another guy there. Maybe you've heard of him. His name's Tim Nichols. And we sat there together, and they interviewed us, and it went well. About an hour later, we interviewed with Georgia Cumberland Conference, and it went well. The next day, I'm sitting in my Hebrew class, and my phone rings. Well, now, I wouldn't ever answer my phone in class, except I knew what this phone call was. So I got out of my seat, and I walked out of the classroom, and I answered the phone. It was Stan Patterson from Georgia Cumberland, and he said, Matt, we want you to serve as a pastor in our conference. Oh, I had such a smile coming back into the classroom that Dr. Hosel said, well, Matt, what's the good news? And I told him, well, I got a job at Georgia Cumberland, and everybody cheered and applauded. But Jen and I, our prayer changed because now it wasn't about the conference. It was about the church. And we said, God, we just want to serve you wherever that is. If you put us in the armpit of Georgia, and let me tell you, there are lots of armpits in Georgia. You ever heard of Waycross, Georgia? Yeah, don't ever go there. Macon? Come on. We said, God, if you put us wherever in Georgia or in Tennessee, we'll do it. But if you did want to know the desire of our heart, if it matches with your desire, we'd love to be in a church that's just like Greenville. I grew up in Greenville, Tennessee. It's an incredible church family. It's got a school. It's loving and kind to new pastors. It's a great place to cut your teeth in ministry. So we said, God, wherever you want us, we'll do it. But if there was a church that was just like Greenville, we'll go there. The next day, I'm in the nursing department where I worked, and Rick Grieve, he's the Northeast Tennessee ministerial director, he shows up. He says, hey, Matt, my name's Rick. And I said, hey, Rick, good to meet you, man. And he said, hey, we've got a church for you in Georgia Cumberland Conference. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a place called Greenville, Tennessee. Man, can you hear God's voice more clearly? You know, it was that day that I heard God's voice not only leading and guiding my life, but also affirming a call to ministry for sure. I don't know what your question is that you're asking God this morning. I think everybody asks questions of God, looking for his answer, and it sometimes feels like he's quiet on his end. You know, maybe your question is about a relationship in your life, a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, a daughter. Maybe it's a husband or a wife. Maybe you have a financial question for God. Maybe it's a career choice question. Maybe it's something completely different. But I believe that when we delight ourselves in God and we say, God, let your will be done. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. It's then that he changes the desires of our heart to match what his desire is to. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, God, How cool is it that we have a God that speaks to us? There's so many other false gods out there that they're silent. They don't have a voice to speak, yet you're a God that's intimately acquainted with our hearts, and you speak to us. So God, I pray that each and every one of us, that we can delight ourselves in you, and that our heart's desire aligns with your desire for us. God, we love you, and we can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name.